it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you can, I'd go to YouTube. It was kind of a party last time when he was on. So let's do it again. It's none other than longtime NFL offensive lineman John Feliciano, who was with the Niners for the last couple of years and admitted to us last time that he was on with us that if the Niners call, like he's taking that phone call. So let's talk it out, what the Niners looked like this week and beyond with John Feliciano. Hey, John, what's going on, man?
Guys, how y'all doing, man? Thanks for having me back on.
Love it. 1-0, John. So, I mean, there's no such thing as a bad road.
I called it right before.
What was, refresh our memory, what was the prediction for this game?
Ah, shit. I don't remember the correct verbiage. I gotta stop. No cursing. I can't curse, so I can't tell you. I can't tell you what I tweeted.
Well, you can paraphrase. Aw shucks. I'm sure it was.
I said we're gonna go out there and whoop some butt.
There you go.
Yeah,
we made it a little bit closer than we should have, but a win's a win.
Hey, what I know, you guys have such reverence for Trent Williams. And the metrics say, and even the eye test say, like he struggled a little bit in this game. What'd you see?
I'm pretty sure he got hurt in the first quarter. I was just watching the film. I don't know how severe it is or how it is or how it was during the game, but it looked like he got rolled up on. He was crawling around on the ground for a second. It was a pretty nasty hit. A couple guys landed on his leg. So I'm wondering if he felt that during the game. But there's a couple plays he wish he had back. Early in the season, they got a couple good guys over there. I'm sure he'll bounce back. But I'm wondering to see if he shows up on the injury report or not. I haven't checked or see how he's feeling.
Yeah, we'll probably check in tomorrow. He might get a vet day tomorrow anyway when they return to practice. I just wanted to get your...
He 100%. Yeah. He doesn't practice on Wednesdays.
Right. Yeah. So I mean...
Any of the Wednesdays.
Exactly. So, yeah. I mean, why would he? Yeah. And just looking at the film, John, you had to love watching the approach with a lot of two tight ends, a lot of Juszczyk in there. What did you see from the run blocking that allowed the Niners to dominate time of possession?
Yeah, I watched the film a few times now. They definitely hit on some plays, and there's some that I know they wish to have back just because I think the crowd noise was a big factor. There was a couple times where the points weren't lining up with who everyone else is going to. I'll elaborate that more on the pod once we break down the film fully. Yeah, they definitely. There was a couple times where Barch and Brendo took the nose for a ride. I think Seattle came out and just there's like F it. They're gonna start moving. I don't think they wanted to stay one on one with our guys or not move. So they were moving a lot during that game.
John Feliciano is our guest. Was with the Niners the last 2 years. And by the way, you mentioned what's coming on the pod. We want to highlight that. Let everybody know about the pod and when and where they can find it.
Yeah, so Not Our Fault podcast. This is just so I can watch film. You know what I'm saying? I love watching film, and I want to watch our guys. So because I know the plays, I know what we're running. So it keeps me fresh just in case. But Not Our Fault podcast on YouTube. We had some technical difficulties. I'm not very tech savvy. So the episode is supposed to drop tomorrow, but it'll probably drop on Thursday. This will be our first episode where we actually break down film. So I'm super excited to teach some O-line play to people.
I love it. I'm also noticing, and I never know when a player has played for multiple teams like you did through your decade-long career to this point. But you were most recently with the Niners, and I think you just referred to them as we. Like, are you? What are you like when you're watching the Niners right now? Is it almost like you're a full-blown fan? Do you still almost kind of feel like your teammate? What's the vibe?
I feel like right now I'm teammates with the Niners and a fan of the Bills. There's so many guys still on the Niners that I talk to often. I reached out to a few of them before the game. Those are my guys, man. Miss them. So I'm leeching on them. They're not getting rid of me. I'm texting you. I'm in your DMs, sending you videos. I'm not going anywhere. I was losing my mind this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, that was more stressful than it probably needed to be. And, you know, after the fact now, Jake Moody has been waived from the team. How frustrating is it as an offensive lineman when you're out there for these long drives and then the kicker's unable to get the three on the board?
Yeah, man, it sucks. Not a shot at Jake. I wish him well. Definitely just a confidence thing, I think. It's a mental thing. He definitely has the leg and the talent. It might be good for him to get out of there and get a new scenery. But, yeah, it sucks. Those points are very important, and they shift the momentum of the game.
He probably wants to. He wants to probably do a Not Our Fault podcast, I would think, right about now.
Well, on the blocked one for sure.
On the block one, yes, for sure. John Feliciano, 10-year offensive lineman in the league, last 2 years with the 49ers, is our guest here on Willard and Dibbs. Hey, John, what's your perspective on Christian McCaffrey popping up on the injury report after what we saw last year and then going out there and getting 31 touches?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was just some mind games by Kyle. It could have been. I'm not sure. But no, I think it is by the league is now they're super, super anal about the injury report. So if someone has something – if they get any kind of like treatment on something, their name has to be on the injury report. So I think it was more that kind of thing. From what I've heard from Christian, is he feels great.
Yeah, he sure looked great. I mean, out there doing all the things that you hope Christian can do. The other one that kind of stings from the game is George Kittle, and just, you know, watching him come up with the hamstring, and now he's going to be out for multiple games. Have you had a chance to touch base with him, and what did you see on the film when Kittle came up lame?
Yeah, I reached out to him. It's a sucky thing. I know he's worked his butt off this offseason, and he was super excited to get the season rolling. As you saw from the first drive, he was kicking butt. God, it's so – that's hard. I did it, though. We're doing it, guys.
You're doing great.
It's like you got to pretend like you're 5 years old again, John, and your parents are sitting over there at the dinner table, and you're kicking butt, and oh, fudge, I stubbed my toe. You got to do it.
Yeah, so he came out swinging, had a first great first drive, and I just feel for him. I saw he's on IR, so that's at least 4 weeks. Hopefully it's four, not more, because we're a different team when he's on the field.
Well, that's actually what I was going to ask you next. Like, how would you put that into words? How different is the game plan? How much harder is the execution when he's not there?
The game plan stays the same. Kyle's not. He's doing what he wants to do, regardless of what's out there, and he's gonna make it work. He's the best tight end in the league, blocking and receiving. So, shout out to Tonjes out there. Man, I lost my mind when Tonjes caught that touchdown, bro. It was what a guy. Los Gatos famous.
Yeah.
So shout out to Jake. He's definitely grown in the last, 3 years. And I'm excited to see what he can do, because before he was always a great, pass catcher. But even into last year, I saw how much better he got in run blocking. And I'm sure that he put the time in and he's ready to – he probably got better and now he's ready to show it off.
Yeah, he's going to have to step up now, and Luke Farrell as well, and both of them are going to have to try to fill those shoes. But it's got to be impossible to fill George's personality shoes in the locker room. What's he like before games, halftime, after games, as a locker room presence?
He's the same guy you see on every video that he's in. Just nonstop energy and goofiness. It's great because that was kind of my energy in the huddle. Obviously, I get a little feisty on the line, but I love to have fun as well. So me and Kittle got along great.
John Feliciano is our guest here on Willard and Dibs. John, 10 years in the league, last 2 years was with the 49ers, and because you were with them last year, John, it's kind of a perfect question for you. The Kittle injury is bringing up all of the feelings again for 49er fans, where it seems like, and actually the data suggests it doesn't seem like, it's fact. Usually, and almost always, the 49ers are one of the most injured teams in the league. And it's gotten to the point where people are like, it can't just be dumb luck. Like, there's got to be something to it. What do you say? You played there. You played in this system. Is there something to the physicality or something else that makes more 49ers go down than others?
We used to joke that it was the power plant, the behind the practice fields. I chalk last year up to them being late in the postseason for the last, you know, 4 years or wherever it was. Yeah, we practice hard. You know, those last two training camps were probably the most physical training camps that I've been in. But I think that's why they were so good. Trying to figure out the verbiage, because when you said we, now I'm thinking about it like, oh shoot.
Yeah.
No, you can, but you can be you. And by the way, our producers even say if you want to say that you go out there and kick ass, you can. That word passes the test. Yeah.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah.
Yes, we got it. Yeah.
Maybe stay away from the S and the F are the ones that we probably steer clear of, you know?
Right. Those are my favorites.
I know a couple of go-tos for sure. Hey, John, you talked about working hard in, you know, the Shanahan camp and for the Niners and whatnot. How does it compare to other camps? Is it all pretty much the same, or does Shanahan get after you a little bit more than you did at other teams?
I think they have their method and they believe in it and it works. Well, he will definitely take care of you if the team needs it. But he's not getting fooled by people acting like we need a break when he knows we're good to go and we're going to get after it. I really think it's just dumb luck and it sucks. You know, hopefully this Kittle thing is just the only one, but you know, let's hope for the best.
John, I wonder if you could speak directly to 49er fans. A lot of them listening right now, and this is just among the things that I hear them say a lot. Because Christian pops up on an injury report, this is just an example, and gets 31 touches, you'll hear a lot of people say, my goodness, Kyle Shanahan does not care about the well-being of these players, does not care about their future status and whatnot. He just wants to win that game, and if he's got to blow through the players to do it, he'll do it. How do you respond to a fan who kind of throws that out there?
That's complete bull.
Yeah, look at you. Look at the growth.
Bull ass.
I mean, for example, myself last year before I got surgery and had to be on IR, at the point I was going to be the, you know, backup interior guy, and he was like, I practiced one day full, the next day I took just the team reps, and the third day I was completely off. And that's for a backup lineman. Like, Kyle is definitely looking out for his players. Like, I've never had that much. The amount of respect I had in that room, I felt in that place was great. But as an older guy, like, they took care of me like immensely.
And especially now that, you know, you're looking at 17 games and, heck, they played 65 or so offensive snaps, and you start to do the math, that's going to be a lot of snaps on the year. How important is it going to be for this offensive line depth to be able to have, you know, some of the younger guys be able to fit in at times and still keep the level high?
Yeah, it'll be huge. We lost Banks. We lost J-Mo. I think Barch is going to be a really good player. And then, you know, they still have Zakel on P squad. They have the Moss. Like, they have depth, and those guys, they'll be ready. Firster is not going to let them be ready. He's going to beat their butt in the dirt.
John, I wonder, and again, you're in the offensive line room, but how difficult is it for a wide receiver, for example, to just walk in the room and be like, okay, go play. Go play and go produce. Even if they're a veteran, or this week they signed Kendrick Bourne, he's been in the system before. But how hard is that?
Good luck, especially as a receiver. That's so hard. There's so many different tags and stuff for them to know. And you know, our offense is definitely one of the hardest I've ever been in to learn. Once you get it, it's like, oh, shoot, everything makes sense. That's why I think, you know, you got to get them guys that have been in the system before so they can get in and help. Because I don't know if a guy that's coming off of another team, another system, could really jump in a game that week.
Did you see some of that on the tape against Seattle? Like, I was looking at Marquez Valdes-Scantling running in and trying to get extra directions, and Brian Robinson a little bit of the same. Does that change maybe what they try to do in New Orleans if you have to, you know, play with some guys who maybe don't have the same experience?
Yeah, you can tell during the game there was a couple of times. I mean, Seattle is such a hard place to play and loud place.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There was a couple of mistakes, but that I chalked that up to not being able to hear. And, you know, if you're coming in as a new guy, you know, you think you hear one word, but it's actually the other word. Especially like New Orleans, that's a very loud stadium as well, regardless of, you know, if they're good or not that year. It's always a loud, rocking place. So it'll definitely be on Jake and Brock to, you know, make sure everyone gets the communication.
Well, John, obviously, that's if Brock is able to play. At this moment, there is a little bit of question on that front. John Feliciano is our guest, 10-year offensive lineman, and was with the Niners the last couple years. And check out his podcast, the Not Our Fault podcast, and the first in-season episode they're expecting to come out. What did you say, tomorrow you think it's going to be
Thursday,
ready, John?
Thursday.
Okay, Thursday it'll be ready. But what is it like for a team? Like, what would you expect if, for instance, they did have to play without Brock? How hard is that for all of the guys when it's a new guy at that position?
Well, yeah, I think that's why they went and got Mac, a proven guy, a guy that's been around. You know, he played very well with the Jags last year when he was in. So I know Kyle, he ain't gonna change much. He ain't gonna change anything probably. And I'm sure they did a great job during camp getting the first team some reps with him so he get used to his voice and his cadence. I think they'll be fine either way.
Any prediction on a Tuesday, John? I don't want to steal the thunder from your podcast coming up in a couple of days, but Niners going to New Orleans. how do you think they're going to do?
I think they'll beat them probably by, you know, at least four.
Okay, by at least four.
Okay. Spread's 4.5, so that's a good
number. Is it?
That's what I have, yeah. Early number.
That was funny.
It's like I just guessed it. I'm joking. I knew it. I'll take the over on Christian's yards. I'll take anytime touchdown from McCaffrey. I mean, I think they're gonna play well.
I love it.
I love it. Yeah.
By the way, John, I know you were saying earlier that you're kind of sweating out the NFL weekend, but you had also mentioned that you are rooting for the Buffalo Bills. I got to get a reaction to that game from Sunday night.
Just Josh being Josh, man. I mean, once they got that fumble, once Ed Oliver caused that fumble, I was like, oh, this is it. Josh is going to do his thing, and they're going to win. And lo and behold, I honestly thought I thought the Ravens before the game. I thought the Ravens was gonna end up winning it, just because for some reason the Ravens always beat the Bills in the season, and then lose in the postseason. So I thought it was gonna be like one of those things. But Josh came out and he wasn't letting that happen.
I know he used to be your teammate and Lamar was not, but if you had to take your pick as an NFL GM to start a franchise right now, which one of those guys are you grabbing?
I'm taking Josh over everybody. I'm sorry. Sorry, Brocky. I love you. You'll get there, buddy.
P.S. Josh, thanks for the Toyota, but I'm still taking Josh. Yeah.
I drive it almost every day. But man, Josh is 6'5", 240, and he is just probably the best football player I've ever seen.
Wow!
Yeah,
wow!
High praise.
So I mean, and so that's going back 11 years. And best football player you've ever seen.
I've been watching football a long time. Wow. I think he's the best player in almost the history of the game. I mean,
wow.
He's gonna, you think if he, I don't want to take shots at my guys.
No.
That defense.
Oh,
I mean, there's been a lot of times where Josh wins the game at the end and then it just, you know, he can only do so much. But you think back to, man, if that the 13 seconds things didn't happen, I believe we easily win the Super Bowl. I think we would have had a home game against the Bengals in the AFC Championship game, and then I believe we would have beat the Rams that year. Mm. So that's one Super Bowl. And you know, I mean, the last couple of years, I mean,
2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah,
man, you've been some close calls, man.
I mean, yeah. So for him, I think once he, you know, he's probably going to play another 10 years. He gets 4 or 5 Super Bowls in the next 10 years. He'll be the best player ever.
Great stuff. Hey, John, thank you for doing this again, and we're hoping to do a bunch more and talk to you again real soon.
Heck yeah, man! This is fun.
Love it, man.
Thanks, John.
Good luck with the episode, too.
That was close.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, I wanted to so bad.
Next time.
Let it fly. We got you.
Exactly. All right, man. There he goes.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.